It's 1 p.m. on a Monday. The calendar date is June 17, 2013. On this tape, you will hear the stories of Del Farnum. Gretchen Kingsbury is the interviewer. We are taping this interview at 20440 Ostrom Road in Fiddletown. Thank you, Dale, for participating in the Amador County Living History Project. We appreciate your willingness to preserve our county's history by sharing memories. This conversation is being tape recorded, and the tapes will be made available to the public without charge. If you share something during the next hour that you regret saying on tape, we will make every effort to remove it before publication.
Thank you, Gretchen. I believe you want a basic rundown of my history in Amador County and my family. My family's came in the gold rush, so I grew up in Plymouth. I was born in Sacramento at Sutter Memorial Hospital, and the earliest remembrances I have of Plymouth, I think, was Pearl Harbor. I was 3 years old, and the family had to get together, and they were gathered around the radio listening to President Roosevelt's speech to Congress. Then, growing up in Plymouth, of course, is entirely different than it is today, as all of Amador County is different today. There were many small businesses in operation. There were three grocery stores, a hardware store, the bank, a drug store. There was a theater that occasionally showed movies. A dance hall. There were dances usually most Saturday nights. There were two bars on Main Street where things got lively on the weekends. So I grew up, my grandmother had married one of the Roos brothers that had a general merchandise store in Plymouth. And so I grew up not only hearing about the history of Plymouth, but the history of Fiddletown, where my family settled. And on my mother's side, her family also settled outside of Fiddletown. So I had three grandparents who were California natives, born in the Gold Rush country. And I had one great-grandmother that was born in the Fiddletown area.
You got deep roots.
So we've been here a long time. So I have a lot of interest as an adult in the history, and most of that is because my dad was very interested in the local history and would pass down items about the families and some that you might not want to see in print and some that are nice memories. So, you know, there is a mix always in history. Anyway, growing up in Plymouth, there was the two-room school just to the east of Plymouth along Shenandoah Road. And so I believe there was only eight of us in the first grade class. And then when World War II ended, the population increased. They added a Quonset hut behind the two-room school. And so after graduating from Plymouth, I went to Sutter Creek, rode the school bus to Sutter Creek to the Sutter Creek Union High School, which was converted to Amador County High School while I was there. I was not athletically inclined, even though I was tallest person in my graduating classes in grade school and high school. And I, of course, I always observed in, around high school that it was the athletes that got all the attention and got away with a lot, making noise in study halls and that sort of thing. So anyway, the when I finished high school, I was fortunate I had the adequate grades. I went to UC Davis and in 1955, fall of 55, and got a degree in landscape management because I was always interested in growing ornamental plants, as well as being interested in forestry issues since the family had timberland on Farnham Ridge in El Dorado County. So growing up in Amador County was very good to me in terms of my exposure to the environment here. The good parts of the environment, the bad issues about fire, and I can remember the very bad fire in the county in 1960 or 61 that started south of Fiddletown, went all the way to Ione, burned the gymnasium at Sutter Creek. And I think you really ought to find somebody that was involved in fighting that fire and do an oral history.
We'll work on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, going to Davis was really refreshing for me, where you were dealt upon with according to who you were rather than who you were related to or not related to, and what end of the county did you live in. For example, I always had the feeling that because we were from the north end of the county, that we were sort of second-class citizens compared to those who grew up in Sutter Creek, Jackson. And actually, an old friend of mine who graduated from high school in Sutter Creek in 1946, I asked her one day if she had felt that because she had grown up in Fiddletown. And she said, oh, did I? So it's historically, it was a real issue. Now today, of course, the cards have changed. You've got all of the new businesses in the wine industry in North County. They were built by people who had been successful elsewhere and brought an education and money with them to open the businesses. And so North County really looks different today. And I'm very happy to see that.
That's right.
One time, the wife and I went to a party held in the Shenandoah Valley. Very nice party by one of the new families. And, you know, they had it catered and nice facility around the swimming pool. And there was a table full of the old political group from Jackson there. And I nudged my wife and I said, do you notice anything? They were sort of glum. They were not mixing very well with the group. And I thought, see, the world has changed.
That's right.
So anyway,
very perceptive.
This is, so growing up in Amador County, it had some pluses and some minuses. Growing up around the store at Plymouth, that my grandparents had, and my dad put most of his life into. I decided early on I didn't want to stand behind the counter my life waiting on people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the reasons to get out of Dodge and go to college. I still have wonderful memories of summers at the ranch house on Farnham Ridge, which was burned down by renters. So, you know, it's like a lot of the old things that I grew up with. The houses that I grew up with are gone and other replaced by other buildings. That's just the way life is.
Mm-hmm. Things change.
Yeah. Maybe you should ask me a question or two. I'm sort of at a loss.
Well, this is fascinating. No, I'm really enjoying. It's important that we're able to contrast the way it used to be and what it is now. So you've.
Yeah, the way it used to be. Of course, we could talk a little bit about Fiddletown. I did not grow up in Fiddletown. Okay. My grandparents, my grandfather was born in the family home in Fiddletown.
Mm-hmm.
And when he married, he inherited one of the ranches on Farnham Ridge. So that's where my dad was born, was 12 miles out of Fiddletown. And my dad would talk about coming to Fiddletown as a little boy, and he said that the family house here was basically the only house in town that had indoor plumbing. And it was done about 1907, right after the San Francisco earthquake.
Is that this house?
That's this house.
Where we are right now.
I'm just passing on the stories.
Yeah.
And my dad said when as a kid, when they come to Fiddletown, the whole town had air about them from the privies. Okay?
And
the privies, most of them along Main Street, wherever it was possible, hung over the creek. And so the high water would clean them out in the wintertime.
Yeah.
So,
and you remember in Sutter Creek, they had the flushing dam to do the same thing.
Yeah, well, in Sutter Creek, we've all had these interesting histories. I think, and the other impression I had was of the Chinese. With the restoration of the Chinese buildings, there's interest. I think we have to realize the Chinese buildings are there because the real estate didn't have any value to tear them down.
Mm-hmm.
Or they had been gone a long time ago.
Thank goodness they're still
there. Yep. But they're here because the real estate had no value or very little value. So my dad said they would come to town and they would hear the Chinese ladies playing instruments. In the what they call butcher shop now or something upstairs, and of course most of the Chinese females that made it here, they ended up being in the world's oldest profession.
Mm-hmm.
And like Jimmy Chow was the native Chinese man that was left as a baby on the Dr. Yi's step. Well, you can imagine what profession his mother had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, the other aspect of the Chinese were that my dad's generation, his older brothers, even before he was born about 1909, so we're talking 1900, the older brothers, they would come to Fiddletown to stay with grandmother in this house, and an older cousin would sneak the boys off to Chinatown. Now, Chinatown was off limits according to the adults, but they would sneak down to Chinatown, and the old retired Chinese men that were sitting around the herb shop in front of those buildings that still exist today, they'd buy them Chinese candy. They'd buy them firecrackers. They just made a lot of fuss. They fussed a lot about those little boys.
Uh-huh.
And I think it tells me how the grandfather had treated them when they were young men.
Oh, yeah. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And it's the same way with the natives on Farnham Ridge. The ranch that I still have was my grandfather's inheritance. His father had given the natives permission to build a ceremonial roundhouse on the ranch in 1862 when he got a claim on, filed a homestead claim, I guess, on the property.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a cemetery on the next ranch, not on the ranch that I have. Mm-hmm. And my mother used to go up there as a very young girl because her mother-in-law, my grandmother, was a ranch. Because my grandmother was a Lawrence, and mm-hmm. her two younger brothers married my dad's two older sisters.
Okay, keep it in the family.
Well, uh-huh. two families, uh-huh. okay. And so my mother's was a niece by marriage to yeah. her mother-in-law, right? Okay. Uh-huh. So my mother would go up there as a young girl, and she used to tell me that she'd go to the Indian cemetery and dig for beads and arrowheads.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I think there's a lot of families around here that did that originally. And I asked my dad's younger brother many years later, I said, did you and the rest of the kids ever go there and dig for beads? He says, no, we would have gotten a licking if we'd been caught in that cemetery. So again, I think it shows the relationship between the senior Farnhams and the local uh-huh. natives. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I feel good about. There are some terrible stories about how the natives and the Chinese were abused
throughout history. We've had that.
Well, in beautiful Amador and El Dorado counties.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there's some bad stories around, okay. you know, bad situations. But anyway, I think that the relations between the were well, and my grandmother, of course, her second marriage, married Mr. Roos, and who was Jewish and migrated from Europe. So again, growing up in World War II, nothing was said about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Even after the war, nothing was ever said, and yet I'm sure that the Russes had relatives that probably were wiped out over there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
so there's a
hands off topic there.
Yeah, I think hands off.
Yeah.
But anyway. Anyway, I don't know where we want to go with this interview.
Well, it's up to you, Dale, really. This is fascinating, and you can relay so much about what life was like here that, you know, the listener doesn't know.
Right. Well, there is, in publication, there's one of these... I don't know, you want to turn that off, man? I'll look
sure.
up a book.
All right. Stop.